Praise the Lord. Today we are going to talk about Valentine. Amen. My Val is sitting over there. My Val, can you wave your hand, my Val? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's my Val. Where your own? Where your own? Praise the Lord. Do you know some people are not here now because they are doing Valentine somewhere? I pass, Pastor Thomas, the same area I will pass. Everywhere, some clubs around the road there, all of them fully booked. The whole road closed. What happened? Valentine. All around the world listening to us, can we tell them shalom? Wave your hand, wave your hand. Wave all over the world, wherever you are. Shalom, 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 shalom. On St. Valentine's Day, shalom. Praise God. Okay. Now in Matthew 27, I read it from verse 15. And I'm reading it up to verse 27. Let's pick it for a text, so let's honor the word of God by standing. Thank you. That is the custom of the church. The text for the day, we honor it. From verse 15. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will you that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Hey. The governor answered and said unto them, whither of the 12 will you that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, let him be crucified. Verse 23. And the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumor was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. See you to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he has called Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. Pilate asked the people, who do you prefer? Pilate, Jesus or Barabbas? A criminal. And they shouted, give us Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. But today, like Pilate asked, I am going to ask, Jesus or Valentine? That's my question. That's the title of my message. Valentine or Jesus? Praise the Lord. Now look at the two stories here. Amen. Number one is the story of Valentine. We all know the story of Valentine. So many years ago, a priest, there was the law, of course, is in the Roman Empire, to gather young men, to allow young men go for battle, he banned marriage within that period until they finished their war. It was an offense to go and marry. The purpose is to get young men ready. You know, if you have a wife, you will not go wholeheartedly. You'll be distracted. But this priest was secretly wedding people who are in love. That is one legend. There are two legends I have got to hear, because even the story of Valentine, those who are celebrating it, if you ask two different people, they will give two different history of it. So this is one of the legends. And he was caught and put into prison and eventually killed. The second legend says that when he was put in the prison, a priest was put in the prison or something like that, that the jailer, the man in charge of the prison, somehow he fell in love with the daughter of that man. I don't know whether it is because of the man, the person he fell in love with, the man's daughter, that he was put in prison. Maybe that is why. Because the whole story of Valentine is disjointed. But one fact stands. He found himself in the prison. But even in the prison, he still remained in love with that young girl. That is the interesting aspect of it. That although they were punishing him because he had a relationship with a girl when he shouldn't, he still did not let go. And just before they hanged him, they asked him for his last wish. And he said his last wish is if they can give him a piece of paper to write his final, you know, whatever he wanted to write, his last wish. And he instead wrote a letter assuring that girl of his love. And he ended the letter by saying, "Yours, Val." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then he handed over the letter. They took it to the girl. And they hanged him. They killed him. So he died for love. Or he died with love. But I'm sure he died more for love. And so that has become a symbol of love. And remember, he was a Catholic priest. And years later, one of the popes of the Roman Catholic Church decided to make him a saint of love. Saint Valentine. And you know that those of you who are Catholics or have been Catholics before, Roman Catholics, you know, before you can be venerated to the position of a saint, you undergo a lot of processes before, when eventually you are raised up, you become in fact a god, because you become a medium, because now you are in a position where the Catholic, Roman Catholic followers can get to their god through you. That is what it means to be a saint. Saint Jude, pray for me. Saint Mary, pray for me. Amen. So that office is not given to ordinary people. Before you reach that stage, and you must first die, oh, you are not a saint if you are alive. You have to die and then pass through some process of verification by the living. And then when you pass it, then they declare you a saint under some very serious, sanctimonious, you know, processes and holy mass to declare you a saint. And from then on, the living declare the dead a saint. But while we are alive, even the Pope is not yet a saint. He has to die first and pass through the process. Amen. So for them to have made Saint Valentine, they must have considered how much, you know, that action, that he could die because of love. Ha! And from then on, a date was set, 14th February. Every year. Amen. To celebrate in memory of a saint that died demonstrating love. A day is set aside to honor him, to remember what he stood for. Love. Today, all nightclubs are full. What are you doing? We are St. Valentine's Day. Today is free sex. It's love. Yes, until an NGO is concerned that St. Valentine's Day, there will be so much sex, so because of all the attendant evil that could come out of it, they decided to go out to young people. Today, they were distributing condoms. Condoms. And they were preaching to young men. Make sure we know all the people we do today on St. Valentine's Day. We know what people will do. Make sure you use condom, oh. Saint Valentine. Praise the Lord. One interesting thing is that evil churches celebrate Saint Valentine. Particularly Pentecostal churches. This night, Christ Embassy is celebrating Saint Valentine. Praise the Lord. Is it a very wonderful amen? That died because of love. We should celebrate it. Amen. That is the story of Saint Valentine. Now, there is another man. His name is Jesus Christ. Today, we are going to see these two men. They are all men. Who among them should be celebrated? Hallelujah. I don't have a film, a drama, a presentation of what Saint Valentine went through. But I have the one for Jesus. Can you show us? What he went through because of love. Because he loved you and me. Because of the love he has for you and me. what he went through. Watch it. If we can show that clip. Saint Valentine.
On beyond the moon and stars he went with the Old Testament saints. Oh, what a victorious march that must have been. With a real conqueror. After a while, they come in sight of that glorious city. Abraham says to Sarah, "Come here, honey." And she gets Isaac and comes along. Isaac gets Jacob. Jacob gets Joseph. And he says, "That's that city that Daddy saw, whose builder and maker is God. I walked about on the earth looking for a city to come whose builder and maker was God, and now I'm coming near the gate. Although the great man that they were, they could not conquer it. It taken one to come down to do the conquering. Though Abraham conquered difficult, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, but there was only one who could conquer sin. That was him, the Lord Jesus. And as they seen the light from the inside the city, and the great pearly gates are shining, Jesus in the forefront, marching on. And the angels begin to ascend to the top of the buildings. And they look coming. And the Old Testament saints cried out, "Open up ye everlasting gates, and be ye open, and let the King of glory come in, the mighty conqueror." And the angel screamed back and said, "Who is this King of glory?" And the Old Testament saints cry out, "The Lord of hosts, mighty in battle." And the gates come open. And he placed at the gate the old rugged cross. And every woman ever comes into that gate right now before that cross and recognize him as the mighty
mighty conqueror. The mighty conqueror.
He arose.
He arose. He arose. He arose. He is risen. He is risen. Christ is risen. He's alive.
Hallelujah, God is risen, He's risen, come on.
That is our Christ. That is our Christ. Do you know there are some churches that claim they have this knowledge of who Jesus is and what he went through for us, and they still celebrate a substitute Valentine? We have a clip of some of them. See some of those churches celebrating now. See them. See one. See them. Which one is this? Redeem. Valentine's special church. I have evidence. I have evidence. Church. Hey. Hallelujah. Listen, Jesus Christ was walking with people who walked with him, his disciples, and he turned around and asked them, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? People are calling Jesus, 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 and they know nothing about who he is. And he asked them, who do men say I, the Son of Man? Okay, some say this, some. You call and sitting down here, who do you say Jesus is? See how a believer captured it. Watch the screen again. Who is Jesus?
The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the weak. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I could describe him, but yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible.
Hallelujah. 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 Upon this rock, of who you know him to be, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Upon the rock of the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, use this day when we speak. They say, brother assembly, we criticize. Okay, he says criticism now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen, church. There is something about God, a mystery, that we have to understand. God created a human being. There is something he left in every one of us. That is your self-will. He left something, that aspect, your power of choice. He left it purposely so that you can make your choice after he has created you. He gives us free will to make choice. And any choice you make, it will never stop you. Oh yes. That is why even his own children, the children of Israel, after seeing God in a level that had never been known since the creation of the world, in the manifestation of his glory, he came down in the camp of Israel. A supernatural cloud was following them in the daytime. And in the night, a supernatural pillar of fire in the camp of Israel. His presence was among them. He parted the Red Sea. He struck Egypt with more than how many plagues that everyone had no doubt but to believe that there is a living God somewhere. But suddenly, so that he will speak to his people, the medium by which he chose to be communicating to his people was by a prophet. That is God's way of communicating to his people, because we cannot stand his voice. So what does he do? He chooses a man. By the time it reached the turn of Samuel to lead them, on that thought said the Lord, suddenly the choice came again. They said they don't want a prophet anymore. They want the leadership of a king like other nations. Now, but God did not stop them. Samuel knew the effect of what they were doing. He was crying, appealing to them. And God came down and told Samuel, it is not you they have rejected. It is me they have rejected. Give them what they want. He didn't stop them. Any choice you make, he will stop you. Praise the Lord. It is to enable this choice to be made. That's why he created positive and negative. He created light and darkness. He created good and bad. In the Garden of Eden there, that is the reason why he left those two trees there. He told you the effects, the benefit of every tree. This one, you will die. This one, you will have life. Whichever one you want, choose and eat. Why didn't he destroy that other tree that can bring death? He left it there so that you see koro. You go chop him. It means you are ready for the consequence. He created life, he created death. Purposely, he created Satan and allowed Satan to be the negative of him. Yes, to pervert it. Even when it comes to salvation, he, God, he said, there are two ways. Two ways. When Jesus said, I am the way. But he still came again and said, there are two ways. One is narrow. Straight and narrow. He said the other one is wide. The gate is wide. The way is broad. And that way is the way to worship God. And yet, he added again, there is a way that seemeth right unto man. He said, but the end thereof is what? The way of death. But he left them before us. So that when he will be judging you, when he will be judging every man, praise the Lord, he will be justified. So that God himself will be justified, that he's not doing evil. He warned you before. Oh yes. His sister was Christian enough to confess to me. She said in the dream, God came and warned her. She's here now. She didn't hear me as I talk. God came and warned her that she should never go to sleep with a man. If you do that, you are finished. Then she said she forgot about that warning. And she went and opened her leg for one useless man. The two of them are useless. Then I told her, she was telling me, I said, did you say you forgot what he told you? If you forgot what he told you, you know they call church. He said, any time I preach, why not they mention Unam case? If you forget that one, I am here to remind you every service. Every service. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, something began to happen to her. Now, she won't be blaming God anymore. That is the reason. The mercy of God even came down and warned her. That is the reason why God gives those substitutes. There is a spirit of truth and there is a spirit of error. And he taught us how to identify truth and how to identify error. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But listen, church. Man in her rebellious estate, we have always looked for substitute to God and godliness. Always. And Satan is there to give you substitute. Because you are looking for substitute. What God has given you is not enough. A prophet is not enough. And let the prophet stay. But we still want a king also. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Instead of worshiping God, they needed a substitute. That is why they are worshiping idols. That's why we have other religions. Other religions, they are substitute form of worship of the true living God. You see? God gave us instruments of worship, talents of worship, gifts to use to worship. That's why you can sing. Can't you see one here came to sing his own in the church? But others are in nightclub now singing, using the same karaoke like our brother used now, but with better voice itself than his own. But what are they doing? They are singing it in a different place from the presence of God. Substitute. Singing worldly songs and demonic music. He instead of you to dance for God, they are dancing for masquerade and shrines. Oh yes, substitute. Instead of seeking true revelation of the things that pertain it to the things of the Spirit by the Holy Ghost, because He is the revealer of things to us, they seek for substitute through mediums. That's where we, man, discover astrology. Yes, they forgot God. And the things that God created is what they are using to know what will happen tomorrow, to know what will happen today, to know astrology. It's true now. They are looking for protection from God. The true protection that God has given us is not enough. They are going to look for Babalawo to give them charms. A substitute. Babalawo, they join courts so that they will find protection. The Bible says it is God that giveth thee power to make wealth. Satan says, if you join this cult also, forget God, you will still make wealth. Substitute. Always looking for substitute. It's true. You have not seen pastors that use occultic powers to cast out demons and make people fall under anointing? Yes, they exist. Foundation of some churches is charms. Substitute to the real power of the Holy Ghost as of old. Look, what is the meaning of adultery? Adultery is a married man or woman looking for a substitute partner. The one God give him, not one. He wants another substitute. That is man for you. It's true. Homosexual Zunka. The hole that God gave man. They are looking for another hole. Okay, sorry, not hole, mouth. The mouth that God gave to eat from. It's not enough. They look for another hole. Another mouth. Substitute. A woman will lust after a woman, another woman. Substitute to a man that God has designed for you to have affection for. You're having affection for another woman. Looking for substitute. And God, our God, is a God of peace. He's the only one that can give peace. But when they are looking for peace, then they will go to beer parlor to drink alcohol so that they can have some peace. That's why they take drugs. Substitute to what God, praise the Lord, has provided. And why? Why is Satan there to give this substitute? The reason is very simple. To deny God His true worship. To deny God the glory that is due to Him. Why? Satan has always wanted to compete with God. So whatever God can give, he will give the perverted part of it. So that he can move pari passu with God. Nothing more. But my Bible tells me that this God that we serve will not share His glory with any man. Not share His glory. Anyone that has taken over, taken to any substitute to what God has given us, you are looking for trouble from God. Because what you are doing will not glorify God.
And he created you to give glory to him. And everything we do
as human beings, we are supposed to give glory to him, nothing more. Apostle Paul captured it this way in Romans chapter 1. Let's read it. This is the way Apostle Paul captured it from verse 18. He said, the purpose of this message today is just to realign your thinking. That's all. So that you will appreciate Christ and make sure there is no substitute to him in your life. That's the whole purpose. Anything you see the whole world going for, anything you see the whole world going for, everyone, unbeliever, everybody, all of them agree, they are following you. In that thing, God is not there. They will reject him if there is God inside. Watch it, the whole world all over. Once it is something that God is not mentioned there, the whole world will go. And people who have been delivered from such spirit, you still see them again following it. See? Verse 18, Romans chapter 1. He said, for the wrath, anger of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth. They hold the truth in what? The truth in unrighteousness. That is, you know, this is the original and this is the perverted original. Perversion of the original. You choose the perverted one, you are holding the truth in unrighteousness. You know that this is the opposite of something. Something that God has designed. Satan has given you a substitute or an alternative. And you go for that alternative, that substitute, you are holding the truth in unrighteousness. What is lie? You say you are telling lies. Lie is truth perverted. What is fornication? Fornication is what God has ordained for procreation, perverted. So perverted until they can put it on film for people to watch for entertainment. Something that is supposed to be sacred. That is it. They're holding the truth in unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. Verse 19. This is the reason. He said, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because some people say there is no God. But the invisibility of God has been made visible by the things he has created that you and I see, and we can't know how they came about existence. The songwriter say, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Yes. He said, when I consider the works of my God, the moon and the stars, the path that they trod, the sheep and the oxen, the beasts of the field, all of these wonders make me know that he's real. How great is our God! How great is his Lord! He's the greatest one ever that ever was.
He rolled back
the waters
of the mighty Red Sea. And he said, I will lead you. Put your trust in
him. He used our prophets.
He used our power in many ways
to show forth his name, he's a day.
He never changed.
He's always the same.
So worship and praise.
I love this day. Hallelujah.
How great it is.
He's the greatest one ever was.
He rolled back the rock.
Which verse am I? Verse 20 again. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorify him not as God, neither we are thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. And did what? Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, make like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Some people worship animals. Some people cow is their God, especially in the eastern part of the world. Some people worship snake. Yes, that is their God. Yes, that's what they mean. And some people worship man. Olumba, olumba, obu. Yes. Verse 24. He said, because of that. Verse 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. See what happened? Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forevermore. Forever, amen. Just imagine the condition. God created this tree. Then they will come. Instead of worshiping the God that created this tree, they will come and take their own hand and carve it, paint it, beautify it, put flower, and then say, this is my God. This is my God. They worship the creature more than the creator. For this cause, verse 26, God gave them up unto vile affections. It's a vile affection that a man should lust after a man. A woman will lust after a woman. Vile affection. Some men even chase their own daughters. Vile affection. Some mothers chase their own sons. Vile affection. In the Western world, they love animals more than they love human beings. Vile affections. Some refuse to marry. They marry their animals, their pets, their dogs. For this cause, verse 26, God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, born in their lust one towards another. Men with men. Working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meat. Where do you think HIV came from? AIDS, where do you think it came from? All manner of sicknesses that are incurable now. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to return God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient.
being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Vile affections. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is a vile affection that will make you consider two people, Satan and God, positive and negative, good and bad, evil and good. And then you turn and look, you say, we are church of Satan. We are Satanists. Yes. We are proud. We are atheists. Yes, we are proud. Yes. We here, we are free thinkers. There are people that stand and say there is no God. Oh. And here we are again. And what is paining me? I am not talking to them. The whole world, Apostle Paul, by this statement, has placed them where they belong. I am looking at the invasion of Christianity by these same spirits. That's why I'm telling you, it's not every church that is the church of Jesus Christ. It's not every pastor that is a pastor from Jesus Christ. No matter how much they call Jesus, 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 God of Abraham, God of Abraham, miracles, signs and wonders happening, the same Bible that they are holding says, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And he added to all of us listening to me, let them that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. And iniquity is knowing the right thing to do and refusing to do it. Iniquity is holding the truth in unrighteousness. Depart from it. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Valentine, I say it again. His death. What did it add to that girl that he died for? How did his death affect that man or her or that woman? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because after he died, that young girl go marry another man. Oh yes. And to start with, why then not as a Catholic priest? What is he doing with loving a girl like that? Yes. I think they take a vow of celibacy, perpetual celibacy. So how come now they eye girl again? So they love and reach that stage. And that is where you see the contradiction in that religion. Serious contradiction. Because he broke the law of celibacy. The vow, he broke it. So instead of his name to be deleted from the book of life of the Catholics. Instead, they promoted him to be a saint. It's contrary. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen, church. I'm talking to the whole world. Some listening to me now, they'll be getting angry. What's that man saying? If you don't know, if I'm saying nothing, then why are you standing watching me now? Why are you not in a nightclub somewhere doing your vow? Why are you following our broadcast? You know I'm saying the truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, this is number one. This is where a lot of Christians make this mistake. Listen very well. I've said this before, and I'll continue to say it, because somebody will be hearing me for the first time every time. Listen, there are some traditions you see in some churches that you see that looks as if they are Christian tradition. Okay? They look, the way it is presented, to make it look as if it has something to do with Christianity. But the truth is, you must have this knowledge. And please, I am not against Catholics making anybody a saint. I am not criticizing them. That is their religion. That is what they believe. It is not a Christian doctrine, but it is a Roman Catholic doctrine. And they are entitled to it. They have their freedom to do whatever they want to do. But it has nothing to do with salvation, nothing to do with the Church of Jesus Christ. Always remember, there are some churches, for instance, that before they can allow you to be a communicant, you must be confirmed. Now, somebody standing in a church that believes that, you will think that it is a Christian doctrine. No! That is that particular church doctrine, Anglican church doctrine. Do you understand? There is Anglican church and there is the Church of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you understand me. Okay. There is Anglican church and there is Bible church. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now. And some of you think that you occupy a certain level spiritually that pertaining to your salvation when you undergo such a process. And eventually, a sinner saved by grace dresses in a sanctimonious way and comes and declares you confirmed. Yes, you are now confirmed to be a member of that setting, that religion. It has nothing to do with Christianity, because the confirmation of your faith is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. According to the Bible. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, in some other religion, they believe in the hierarchy where you start from a layman, a pastor, senior pastor, then you become reverend, then right reverend. Then you become Reverend Doctor. Then you become, Bishop, Archbishop. What again? Then you have Primate, Prelate, General, Superintendent, and they address some as His Holiness, His Grace, His Eminence, and Preeminence. Now, it's wonderful, isn't it? And I am not against it. Listen very well. Pastor Moses is not against it. That is how they do it in their religion. But it has nothing to do with Christianity. You have to know it. Now, the Roman Catholic religion, when you die, let me just use two things there. When you die, they believe that there is a place you will go and purge yourself before eventually you are prayed by the living to now go to heaven, known as purgatory. Now that is the Roman Catholic religion. But according to the Bible, we are to purge ourselves while we are alive. That is the process of sanctification. To purge yourself of everything. Because it is appointed unto man how many times? Once to die. After that, purgatory? No. After that, what? Judgment. If you don't purge yourself here, the way you die, that is how you will be judged. Now. Listen. Secondly, you have to die before you become a saint. That is according to the Catholic religion. But according to the Bible religion, hallelujah, we are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ sanctifies us. Therefore, when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you become a saint. Can I see the saints of God here? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is according to the Bible. Now, why I say all this is because they are at the forefront of all religions on earth. And because they also mix Bible with the things that they believe. They mix some things in the Bible, not everything in the Bible, with whatever they believe. Now people look at that as if they are a leading church. Therefore, if they will make somebody a saint, then they must be correct. So, everyone, including blind Pentecostals, who should know better, including protesters that protested from that same religion, that should know better, they are following it. Saint Valentine. As a man, the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, including Valentine. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He died because he loved one girl. But compare that with Jesus. In John chapter 10, verse 10. Hallelujah. The thief coming up to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says he came that we may have life and have it more. See the difference now. He died that we may have life. Valentine did not die for that girl to have life. Until today, she's so irrelevant, we don't even know her name. We don't know her name. In John chapter 1, verse 4 and verse 5, concerning Jesus, he said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Hey! There's life in him. There's light in him. Darkness cannot comprehend it. Unbelievers live in darkness. They cannot comprehend this great light. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, he said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. If you believe in Valentine, what will it add for you? Hallelujah. In John chapter 5, verse 11 and verse 12, he says, and this is the record, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. How many people have life? You have life only if you have the Son of God. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Therefore, the only symbol of love that we have on earth today is the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. In John chapter 10 and verse 15, he said, I laid down my life for the sheep. Symbol of love. In John chapter 15 verse 13, he said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Greater love has no man than this. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I like the way Romans chapter 5, Apostle Paul put it this way. Amen. From verse 6, as you read it, be comparing it with Valentine. From verse 6, he said, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some will even dare to die. But, everybody, shall we go together? But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While I was in nightclub, he has died for me. While I was living a useless life, he has died for me. A worthless person like me, he went and died for me. Worthless, I didn't know him. I will not call his name. For 1 year, I didn't know anything, God, except I knocked my leg on a stone. Oh God, if not, I didn't know anything about him. And yet, he was interested in me. Why would I celebrate him? I was not looking for him. He was looking for me. Hey! Let nobody say, I've been looking for God. Nobody. We were lost and gone. Satan took over. That's why he said, while we were yet without strength. Because we are under the bondage of Satan and satanic forces. We could not resist anything we knew was bad. We were without strength. Yes, now. There are a lot of things we were doing we knew was bad, but we couldn't stop it. We were without strength. The only strength giver is the Lord Jesus Christ. He settled on the cross of Calvary. Oh, glory be to God. Verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, not by the blood of Valentine, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Aren't you happy with that verse? That assured us. Let me read it again, verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, not by my effort, not by struggling. He said, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Which wrath? The condemnation. The fire that is coming upon this world. We are saved from it through his blood. Why will I not celebrate this Jesus? Verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, was jumping from nightclub to the other, from one woman to the other, one prostitute to the other, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, be reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Hey! Hey! How can I know this? I've been celebrating one Valentine somewhere. And not only so, verse 11, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, by this same Jesus, by whom we have now received the atonement. My sins are gone. My sins are gone. By the atonement. Verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, if you don't know it now. Who was that man? Say very loud. And death came by that sin. And so death passed upon all of us from Adam till now. All men. for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. That is the purpose why God wanted everybody to see that we are all sinners. That's why he gave the law, the Old Testament. That Old Testament was not meant for anybody to keep. Nobody could keep all those laws. So that nobody will be proud. So that everybody will know that we need God. We need God. We need God. No human being can live a life pleasing before God. Oh, nevertheless, verse 14. Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Who is he that is to come? Say very loud, who is he that to come? Verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, had abounded unto many. Many of us are suffering because of one man, Adam. And many of us now, by the grace of Jesus Christ, we now receive life. Hey! Hallelujah! Verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto one justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. Who is that one? Say very loud. Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, so that you will know it very well. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That is why he rushes to save the armed robbers. That is why he rushes to save the prostitutes. That's why he rushes to save the drunkards, who know themselves that they deserve to go to hell. They know I am bad. But suddenly grace comes and says, yes, you deserve death. You yourself, you have finished condemning yourself. But mercy rewrote my life. Oh, mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote our life again. The hand of mercy changed our direction. And we experienced grace. By that one man. By that one man. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. By who again? Jesus Christ, our Lord. Yes. So what is he saying? God's provided way. If you choose that one, amen, it brings life. But the substitute, what does it carry? Death. Death. That's why I said, it's a way that seemeth right. It seemeth right. It seemeth right unto man. That substitute. But the end of it is the way of death. Because God does not share his glory with any man. And look at all these pastors. And look at all these men of God. And all these funny places who supposedly teach righteousness, teach the gospel of cross. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Hallelujah. Of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of it. For it is the power of God. Unto what? unto righteousness, unto salvation. Hallelujah. He said, therein, that gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from what? Faith to faith. Faith to faith. Romans 1:16-17 says so. For it is written, the just shall live by faith. No shame. And supposedly they are preaching the cross. And instead of them to guard that gospel jealously, brother, praise the Lord. And this is what Isaiah said in chapter 8, verse 20. He said, to the law and to the testimony, if they, these pastors, reverence, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. If there is light in you, and that light that shineth in darkness, you will always speak according to this word. Amen. Yes. And this is the way Apostle Paul put it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. I read it up to verse 4. This is the way he put it. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. It's a corruption that somebody will try to mingle the true doctrine of divine love with anything Saint Valentine has done. It's a corruption. It's a corruption of the faith. And he warned in verse 4, for if he that cometh preached another Jesus, substitute Jesus. Is Valentine not another Jesus? They are saying that he did what Jesus did. Preached another Jesus, whom you have not preached, we have not preached. Or if he received another spirit, which you have not received. And to receive another spirit is a spirit that is pushing the whole world to celebrate Valentine. It's another spirit. It's a spirit, oh. It's a serious spirit. Serious spirit. Or another gospel. Another gospel. Which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For so, verse 13. Go to verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers. All of them celebrating Valentine. All of them. This is thus said the Lord. You are all false preachers. I don't care how much carnal men regard you. We spiritual people, we know who you are. For it is written, the spiritual man judgeth all things, yet he himself is not judged. Judge of no one. We have judged you by the word, and we found all of you to be false, worldly preachers. Hey. This is the vex me, eh? is Jesus that gave me hope when I had no hope. This Jesus that made me to become a human being when I was less than an animal by the way I was living my life. This Jesus that repackaged my life for me. I had no peace until I found him. And somebody wants to compare him with someone else. And you say I should just look at him and keep quiet. I will not keep quiet. You are all false. False. You are false. You don't know anything about the cross. You know nothing, nothing, nothing about the cross. But as for me, so I'll cherish that old rugged cross. Till my trump is at last. Oh, yes. I will cling
to the old.
Oh, yes. You hold on to the world, but give me Jesus. You may take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You may take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You may take the whole world, but give me Jesus. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. Hallelujah. I have decided. Oh, to follow Jesus.
Somebody sing and say,
I have decided to follow, Jesus.
Yes, I have.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
No turning back.
No turning back.
No turning back.
No turning back. All the way to Calvary. He went
from me.
Oh, yes.
Jesus went
for
me. My Savior went
for me.
All the way.
Oh, all the way to Calvary.
He went for me.
Oh,
he died to set me free.
I love that man.
Of Galilee,
oh,
for he has done so very much for me. He has forgiven me of my sins and sent the Holy Ghost to me. I love that man of mercy of Galilee.
Gone from my heart, the one and only shepherd. To the blood, I'm saved from all else. Down at the cross, my heart is made the Lord. The precious blood of Jesus cleanses white. Hallelujah.
I love him. I love him.
Oh,
because he bought me.
Such love,
such wondrous love,
such love,
such wondrous love.
Not a much
true love. I've seen such as I. How wonderful is love.
Say it again. Oh, such love.
Such love.
Such love.
Yes. Such wondrous love.
Such love.
Such love.
Such wondrous
love.
Such wondrous love.
I see. Jesus, such as God.
How wonderful is love like this.
Sit down, make her finish. I never finish. They are false. Preaching another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. They are false. If they speak not according to this word, the only reason is because there is no light in them. They are children of darkness. They lead people into darkness. It's not leading them into light. It's what you have, you give. And you have no right to gather people and pastor them when you don't know anything that pertaining to salvation. And you don't want to go to heaven, don't gather people and tell them about heaven. You won't tell them correctly. Yes, sir. Verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11. Where I was reading. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So it is not Christ that appointed them. They are the ones that transform themselves. And no marvel, their father, for Satan, their father himself, is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. So, by this scripture, Satan has ministers. The first minister of Satan on earth is serpent. That went to preach under the inspiration of his father, Satan. To the woman, Eve. Eve, a type of the church. Serpent, a type of false preachers. And now all Satan is still alive. He is the Antichrist. His role is to pervert what is Christ and what is Christian. And that's why he has his ministers to always say, like serpent, it doesn't matter. And I was hearing one of them preaching to those dead people. Because no one that has life will be comfortable in that atmosphere. Where you enter, it depends on where they brought you out from. God brought me out of nightclub. I know the setting of nightclub. If I enter some churches, I will think that I have gone back to the nightclub. I will run out. Can never be comfortable in that setting. And to tell you how those churches are just there, meant to just, you know, to just anyhow. The women don't sit one side. Men and women, they mingle and they jingle together in the church. And then you will see a woman sitting by a brother naked. In front, the woman where they sit for front, all her back, they show. And then here is she. She don't wear brassiere and she's wearing sleeveless. And this brother has come to worship. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Fruit of delusion. They told you it doesn't matter. It matters. There is yet another day that is his mercy is still available.
The trials of the Christian.
Christians face trials.
The God of this world cannot be our God because we are in this world but not of this world.
One time with one brother for Ikeja, the woman that was sitting in front of me, the young girl. They dressed anyhow. And the pastor collected microphone. We were there thinking that the man will come and preach and let all these people. Maybe they just visit or make these people call of God and repent. Let them call, make call, altar call. He entered and he was telling them, I have come to tell you here today. The Lord told me that you are special in his sight. And that you are all going to heaven. And I turned and I looked at my brother. I said, this man is lying to these people. Oh, I wish I could collect a microphone and talk to these people. Why are you deceiving them? Why are you deceiving them? And then it was time for us to worship. The woman that was in my front, as if they stationed and there for me. I am telling you, the whole of the back, I don't know how they designed that cloth. Everywhere in the back here, open. Then it carries scarf, put like that so that the thing fit cover part for back. She did not wear brassiere. I saw that for the first time in a church. And it was a sleeveless, just one small, tiny something like that, hung there. Then the man said, everybody stand up and begin to speak in tongue. That lady made sure she positioned herself. I was sitting behind and did like this. And she's in the spirit speaking in tongue. And she's in the spirit speaking in tongue. I grabbed my brother. I said, look, please let us go. I got out of that place. Church of Jesus Christ. Upon my Zion shall be. And what? Holiness. Without holiness, no man will see God. Why are you deceiving? You know yourself. You can't wear that dress before a governor. You can't wear that dress for an interview you're looking for a job. It is before God that you're looking for a husband that you will dress anyhow and come to him and think you will pass that interview. Praise God. That's the state of Christianity today. But I have a word in Ephesians chapter 4 for us here. In Ephesians chapter 4, this is admonishment of Apostle Paul to the spiritual church. The Ephesian church was a spiritual church. The Corinthian church was a very carnal church. And may this church be a spiritual church in the name of Jesus. Verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you believers henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. Vanity upon vanity. All is what? Vanity. Having the understanding, this is how they walk. Having the understanding darkened. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over into lasciviousness to walk all uncleanness with greediness. But you, the believers, ye have not so learned Christ. It so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That you put off concerning a former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And this is what Joshua said. The last statement before Joshua passed away, the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 14. 15 and verse 16. They have seen all the works of God. They have seen how God has shown the difference between them and those nations around. They saw the Red Sea parted. They saw the River Jordan parted. As it happened with Moses, it happened with Joshua. Joshua demonstrated until he changed the calendar of the whole world by telling the sun to stand still. They saw the power of God. And this is what he has to say in verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And your fathers here are your denominational fathers. I'm talking to the bride of Jesus Christ. All of us, very few of us just jump from somewhere I came. Many of us here, we left our denominational churches, and many of us have denominational hangovers. That's why it's very difficult for them to call me Brother Moses. Very difficult. Daddy. They are not going to call you Brother. And you think you're trying to look spiritual. You learn it from somewhere. Daddy, the Bible. It's a denominational hangover. Daddy Gio. A pressman was interviewing me. He said, please, what will I call you? I said, I'm the pastor of this church. And I said, ordinary pastor, when I was sending you text, I didn't know how to address you because I didn't know why you'd be offended. I said, oh, I would have been offended if you have called me anything other than pastor. He said, hey, your church is big now. And I asked him, which church do you attend? He attends Catholic. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so many of you come with that type of setting. The hangover. You learned it from your fathers in the other side of the flood, where you were delivered from. God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord. Original Christianity, that's what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord. Yes, I am the pastor of this church. That is my office. But in relationship with you, I am your brother, you are my sister, you are my brother. Amen. I find it very difficult to call anybody here. In fact, nobody here have ever called my son or my daughter. Have I ever called anybody? Hey, my daughter, come. Have I ever? I have never addressed anybody. Anybody. This church is more than about 15 years old now. I have never said my daughter. You are not my daughter, you are my sister. You are not my son, you are my brother. It's true now. Oh, see now they are looking at me with their denominational hangover. Hey, what is this man saying? What I'm saying is in Matthew chapter 23. You are thinking I'm trying to be humble. I'm not trying to be humble. I am trying to be a Christian. Anytime you try to be a Christian, they say this man is very humble. Why would you be humble? Why don't you be humble? Praise the Lord. What is humble? This man is very, very humble. Anytime you try to display any Christian character, they will be surprised. A minister of God is a servant of the people. Why should I be a lord over you? I know a church that if you offend the pastor, before he will forgive you, you must bring wine. And it depends on the size of the offense. As he vexes rich, some now go to them they bring. I'm talking about end time message churches. Where did he get it from? He got it from the hangover where he came from. Hangover where he came from. Praise the Lord. Feel free with any minister. We are your brothers. I am not a hireling. Do you understand? You know the meaning of hireling? Eh?
Have you gone to Agbero in Motor Park? Eh? You know, he's shouting from money. You see him, Ibadan, Ibadan, Ojota, Ojota, Ojota.